Who's counting, right? There was a TV show that made a big impression on me. It was in the Outer Limits kind of genre, you know, Twilight Zone, something out there. The setup was that the devil gave this guy these spectacles, these glasses, that were going to enable him to see what other people were really like. So he could look at this guy and he could see, well, that guy is really a thief. And he could look at this guy and he could see, well, that guy is really a hypocrite. And this was great. He thought this was perfect until he happened to walk past a mirror. He saw what he was really like. And then the devil had him. What would we see if we had the devil's spectacles? We would no doubt see a world in which places of worship are attacked. We'd see a world where children are abused. We see a world where we put up with starving babies. Seems to me our task really is to trade in, to swap out the devil's spectacles with God's glasses. You see, because when we put on God's glasses, we can see what's really going on. What's really going on is that each and every one of us is a precious child of God. Now, there are things that hinder us from recognizing that. Voices that try to make us doubt that. They tell us that we're not good enough, that we don't measure up, that we don't have what it takes. Oh, and your mama dresses you funny too. And if we're going to ever really discover who we truly are as a child of God, then we need to have some other voices. We need to have those voices of affirmation, those voices that tell us that we are made in God's image. We have this eternal destiny, that we have companions who are going to support us on the journey. When we have those voices of affirmation, then we can discover who God has made us to be. Now, Jesus needed to have that voice of affirmation. He heard it on his baptism. If you remember, several months ago, we heard the story. At his baptism, that heavenly voice said to him, "You are my beloved son. I am well pleased with you." And because Jesus heard that voice, he knew who he was. And he was able to do what he had to do. There's a principle in philosophy called agere sequitur esse, for anybody who's an old Latin out there, that what we do flows from who we are. The doing follows our being. And so because Jesus knew who he was, he could do what he had to do. He could heal the sick. He could raise the dead. He could feed the hungry. He could gather together disciples. He could welcome sinners. He could preach the kingdom. He knew who he was, so he could do what he had to do. Now, today's gospel, the story that we heard from St. Luke today, the heavenly voice comes again, but it is not addressed to Jesus this time. It's addressed to Peter and John and James. And the heavenly voice says, "This is my chosen one. Listen to him." Pretty clear message. So Peter, John, and James have this clear indication. Okay, you know who this Jesus guy is. You should follow what he says. And basically the rest of the gospel story is them not being able to do it. And they can't do it, the gospel points out, because they didn't know who they were. They didn't recognize themselves as precious just in who they were. And so instead they tried to be somebody else than who they were. They said, well, let's build a tent. We'll stay here in this holy place so that we don't have to go back and look at ourselves. Let's stay up here on this mountaintop so we don't have to go down into the valley, the rough side of the mountain, and go through all the pain and trouble that's there. Let's not listen to these messages that you're telling us, Jesus, about the cross we have to carry, about suffering, and let's instead just stay here in glory. They weren't comfortable in being who they were and who they're in their own skin, in their reality. And so they didn't do what they should have done. Instead, as we know, they denied, they betrayed, they abandoned. Well, we don't just tell this story so we can know something about Peter, John, and James. We tell it because it says something about us, about who we are as believers, about how we are called to hear and listen to Jesus. I'm reminded of the story of a teacher once who got very upset with her class. They were just driving her nuts, so she blew up. And she said, "Are you acting like fools? What's wrong with you today? Look, if anybody here is a fool, I want you to stand up now. Anybody who's a fool, stand up." Well, after a few minutes, young Harold stood up. Well, the teacher wheeled on him and said, "Well, Harold, do you think you're a fool? Why are you standing up?" Harold said, "Well, I don't think I'm a fool, but I just felt bad that you were the only one who was standing up, teacher." Story today of Jesus on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, we usually call it the Transfiguration. But I don't know if that's really the best term to describe what's going on here, because Jesus really wasn't transfigured into something other than who he was. Jesus was always full of God's glory. Jesus was always connected with the law and the prophets. Jesus was always the beloved Son. And so the story probably should be described more as the revelation or the eye-opening of what was really going on in his life. And that really is our story as well, in less dramatic and smaller ways. We are always made in God's image and likeness. We are always part of God's saving plan. We are always the children of God. And so that's the reality that we have to keep recovering, keep reminding ourselves of, because then we'll be able to listen to him, to do what we're supposed to do, because being follows, it leads to doing. We trade in our devil's spectacles for the glasses of God. And when we think about this season of Lent then, what we are called to do flows from this reality of who we are. We do the pious activity of prayer. Because we are, in fact, the children of God who wish to have this relationship with God, to curl up into God's lap, to come to know God better. We do this practice of fasting because who we are people who are blessed beyond belief by God, and so we can trust in God's bounteous gifts in our lives again and again. We do this practice of almsgiving because we know who we are part of the family of God, and everyone in the family of God has a claim on us. What we do flows from who we are. Listen to him, the heavenly voice told Peter, James, and John, and says to us, we're only able to heed that command when we realize we are already made in God's image and like blessed as the children of God. And then, and only then, we'll be able to hear what he's telling us. We'll be able to listen to even those difficult words of taking up our cross each day and following after him. Amen?